there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. A former FBI agent has claimed that Barack Obama's CIA nominee, John Brennan, secretly converted to Islam. John Guandalo left the FBI in 2009. He is currently employed with the Strategic Engagement Group. The company offers training courses for law enforcement officers interested in protecting the USA from infiltration by Islamic jihadists. The ex-FBI agent recently told radio talk show host Tom Trento, quote, Mr. Brennan did convert to Islam when he served in an official capacity on behalf of the United States of America, end of quote. Mr. Guandalo further stated, quote, his conversion to Islam was the culmination of a counterintelligence operation against him to recruit him. The fact that Foreign Intelligence Service operatives recruited Mr. Brennan when he was in a very sensitive and senior U.S. government position in a foreign country means that he either is a traitor or he has the inability to discern and understand how to walk in those kinds of environments, which makes him completely unfit to be director of Central Intelligence, end of quote. Democratic Party members of the Missouri State Legislature introduced a gun control bill that will automatically turn law-abiding citizens into criminals. If enacted into law, the bill will outlaw possession of semi-automatic firearms and large-capacity ammo clips in the state of Missouri. Citizens will have 90 days to voluntarily surrender the guns and ammo clips to the police or face imprisonment. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, the Communist Party infiltrated the Democratic Party decades ago. The Communist Party knew that the American people would never knowingly vote for the Communist Party. Instead, the Communists became Democrats, and the strategy is working. 4 California students were suspended from school for chanting USA, USA, and wearing American flag bandanas during a basketball game in an Oxnard Union High School. Like I said, the Communists are taking over the nation, and few people comprehend the revolution that is taking place before their eyes. In case you've never heard me say this on international radio, I'll repeat it for you. Barack Obama is a Marxist, Muslim, communist revolutionary who is bent on destroying the USA. South Korean scientists failed to detect radioactive gas from air samples collected over the EC that could prove whether North Korea used an enriched uranium device for its third nuclear test. South Korea and the U.S. are holding a large joint Air Force drill in a show of force following North Korea's nuclear test on Tuesday. That drill will conclude on Saturday. South Korean newspaper Joseon Ilbo reported that North Korea has approximately 100 mobile launch platforms for ballistic missiles. Because the mobile launchers are moved around on heavy trucks, it would be harder for South Korea and the U.S. to launch a preemptive strike using the kill chain in an emergency. The kill chain is the process of detecting, identifying, and intercepting missiles. Meanwhile, South Korea showed off a new cruise missile on Thursday that defense officials say has the ability to strike anywhere, anytime in North Korea. And nearly 300 Japanese self-defense force troops are in California, training alongside 500 U.S. Marines in a landing exercise utilizing Osprey tilt-rotor aircraft. And as the Japanese and American troops train for joint operations, Chinese POA troops are being trained for an upcoming war with Japan, and a third-party nation that speaks English. You can fill in the blank. The PLA Daily, the official newspaper of the communist military, said that the drill took place last month and that it sends a message that the PLA is prepared for intervention of the USA if China goes to war with Japan. Now, NDT, a TV network owned by Falun Gong, said that eyewitnesses in China recently spotted large numbers of Chinese tanks and troops moving along a main road in China's coastal Fujian province. The network said the unusual troop movements are increasing speculation that China is gearing up for a big war. Last month, the PLA and the Chinese People's Armed Police Force were ordered by the Chinese General Staff Headquarters to prepare for combat in 2013. Now, if you believe human history repeats itself in cycles, and I do, then you're aware that the next war cycle starts in late 2013 and concludes in 2017 to 2018. And what I would say to you right now, if you've never repented of your sins and called upon God to save your soul from hell, I implore you to make things right with Almighty God today. Today is your day of salvation. Jesus Christ is waiting on you to surrender to Him. Life in this world is going to change drastically in the days ahead. We're entering in to the days of sorrow. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Make sure you're ready. I'm Rick Wiles. You're listening to True News.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement.
You won't be able to fully love until you rid your heart of unforgiveness. Here's today's moment with Charles Stanley.
Imagine being married to someone who's full of anger and full of unforgiveness and trying to have a loving relationship with a person like that. It has to be very, very painful, very, very difficult because emotions clash. Here you have genuine love and the other person is still talking about how somebody else treated them. And when I think about people getting married, you better think twice who you marry. You better ask yourself the question, not only are they going to be married to me, but how much of their past are they bringing with them? And what's in their past? Is there bitterness and anger and resentment and hostility and all? Am I bringing all of this into this? And say, oh, sometimes a person will say, well, but I'm going to get them converted. What a foolish thought. Why do you want to marry somebody that you've got to change right up front, who more than likely didn't marry you with the idea that you were going to change them? You see, the consequences of what appears to be a little sin. Unforgiveness is a serious sin because it affects every relationship.
Welcome back to True News, the End Time Newscast. We report, you prophesy. I'm Rick Wiles. Last year, Barack Obama spiritually sodomized the U.S. Armed Forces by compelling American generals to accept his demand that the military alter its code of moral conduct and permit homosexuals and lesbians to openly serve in the military. Furthermore, he commanded the Pentagon to extend financial benefits to same-sex couples in the military. Additionally, military chapels on U.S. military bases were ordered to permit homosexual marriage ceremonies inside the facilities. The Boy Scouts of America is the next target of the socialist Obamanistas. Last week, the Irving, Texas-based organization delayed a decision until May on whether the scouting organization will change its rules of conduct to allow homosexuals to serve as scout masters, troop leaders, and as Boy Scouts. What will be the spiritual consequences of the American people allowing Barack Obama to spiritually sodomize the nation? Bishop Harry Jackson Jr. is on the telephone. I'm going to ask him that question. He is the senior pastor of Hope Christian Church, a 3,000-member congregation in the Washington, D.C. region. The church's website is thehopeconnection.org. Bishop Jackson, welcome to the program.
Well, Rick, I'm glad to be with you. You have quite a way with words. That was an intense introduction.
Am I being overdramatic in saying that Barack Obama has spiritually sodomized the nation?
In some ways, let me say it this way. Your summary is clear, concise, and it's true. But I would say it like this. His administration is, in fact, the culmination of a downward cycle that I morally, that I believe our nation has been in for some time. And although he feels that he is doing the right thing, and many people have a similar worldview to him, their belief system is really structured anti-everything that the scriptures essentially teach. And so we're living in a moment in which Matthew 24, Rick, is being lived out, in which Jesus said that many will come in my name, or many will come, or many false Christs will come. And we know one young African-American movie star stood up and said, you know, that he thanked God for his Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. And although he was trying to poke fun in some ways, we have a generation of folk who are confused. And I believe that they view government's intervention and the European socialistic model of government as a kind of counterfeit savior. And therefore, government should watch for you. The big brother, if you will, of government should be for America what only the true Christ should be for Christians. So we have this mixture of concepts that brings us to the place where Jesus in St. John chapter 15 and 16 and talking to his disciples before he was going to go to the Father, he said, look, there are going to come a time. Remember, I've chosen you. You haven't chosen me. But there's going to come a time when people are going to attack you, persecute you, and some are even going to try to kill you and feel like they are doing God's work. And I think we are in this kind of end time era, and you've got a political manifestation here of forces that from biblical and Christian perspective are end time spiritual forces that are warring against God's agenda in our generation.
Bishop, I agree with you that Mr. Obama is the product of a long slide in morality in this country. So if it isn't stopped and reversed, then the next president after him will be even worse.
Yep, absolutely. I think you get it. A lot of people don't get this thing. They feel like, oh, I'm in between a rock and a hard spot, and we got the lesser two evils here. And in some ways, America is under the chastening hand of God, meaning the lack of protection from our enemies, internally and abroad, the lack of and lessening of prosperity among us, the increase of dreaded diseases around us, all of that were the same kinds of things that God let happen to natural Israel, Rick, when they were in rebellion against God.
That's right. This radio program started in 1999 in Dallas with a solemn warning. This is 1999. We started with a warning that if America did not repent and turn back to God, there would be divine judgment in the land and great woe and suffering. So, Bishop, we have to consider the possibility that Barack Obama is the judgment.
He is certainly part of it, and as you're saying, it'll get even worse if we don't take responsible action. And so I think you're right. It's hard for people to hear.
Well, some people might be scratching their heads saying, wait a minute, how can two preachers be saying that an evil, a man who's doing evil in the eyes of God could be God's judgment. Explain that.
Well, it seems to me, no, it doesn't seem to me. Scriptural principle is this, that's more powerful than what seems to me, is that part of God's judgment, it could come in many ways, but part of God's judgment is to those who move in rebellion to God, we get the kinds of gods or kinds of leaders that we choose. Starting with the very first king of Israel, God wanted a judge that would be a deliverer and a leader in godly things. The people said, no, we need a king just like everybody else. And so they wanted a king. They were allowed to receive Saul. Saul did pretty well for a period of time. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of goes goofy on them, and he becomes a figure that moves them down in the wrong direction. And so their rejection of God, even in their government, was a big thing. I also will say that part of the judgment that happens to people, and I'm quoting now from Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah prophesied in a time where Israel was in rebellion against God, or Judah was in rebellion in Jerusalem. And the reality is that Jeremiah said the heart's deceitfully wicked, and that the righteous are going to see and perceive the blessing of God, but the wicked are, it's almost like they are going to be blinded by divine force to perceiving and receiving God's best. And so where we are now in America is, I believe that God is dealing with the church within the American landscape. That the answer for America to return to prosperity, return to protection, return to its physical and spiritual health, is for the church to return to unwavering connection with God. And so people are dealing with, you had a long litany of this homosexual this, homosexual that, homosexual the other, and people say, well, I got it, he's a homophobe. No. The homosexual agenda of our generation is one of the most flagrant violations of God's laws. It breaks natural law. It breaks any kind of reproductive law we can understand. Men weren't made to have sex with other men and women with women. So it is a signpost to us of the rebellious nature of a generation of first Christians in our land. So I'll say this, and I'll let you get a word in edgewise. In 2009, when 163 ministers opposed me and myself and some of the others who were for traditional marriage in D.C., 160-some preachers signed documents that said, we believe that homosexual marriage is biblically sanctioned, was a declaration that these duly ordained ministers in this district had departed from allegiance to the God of the Bible and their allegiance to the written word of God. And that is why this judgment, or God, essentially, his word has two sides to it, in a sense, the side of blessing and the side of cursing. This concept established in the Old Testament that if we do good, the blessing comes. If we do bad, the curses come, as a way of God spanking, chastening, and disciplining us to the point that perhaps we'll turn around and repent so that we might connect again or reconnect to God's divine purpose and will for our lives.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned the term homophobe, and this is a favorite term used by the news media and the leftists and the mm-hmm. various activists to smear anybody that opposes changing the morality of the nation. But phobia yep. means fear. And so to be a homophobe would mean that you're afraid of homosexuals. Well, I'm not afraid of homosexuals and lesbians. Truthfully, most of them are very nice people. I'm not afraid of them. Mm-hmm. I'm a divine judgment phobe. I'm afraid of divine judgment, Bishop.
Me too.
That's
me
what
too.
I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I'm afraid of divine judgment that's going to come on this land because of immorality. And it's not just the homosexual immorality. It's all immorality. It's the breaking of the commandments of God. It's turning from God's ways. It's not just one particular sin. I'm afraid of divine judgment. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the judgment is going to fall on this whole land. We're not going to have divine judgment in pockets of the land. Like, well, over here, the place is, you know, burning up. And then over here in this neighborhood, everybody's going shopping. No, when judgment comes on land, the whole land suffers.
I believe so. I think that's happening even now. As we speak, Iran is increasing its weaponry, trying to get a nuclear weapon so it can destroy, if it were possible, Israel first, America second, in that order. And we have wars and enemies. And there is something to what you said. I love it. I love your perspective that what you're being motivated by is the fear of the Lord, which the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. And the lack of reverence toward God seems to have proliferated even the ministry. How can 163 ministers say the statements we made earlier? Or in our city, we have a group of ministers who are ministers for reproductive freedom, which essentially means we believe it ought to be all right for, if you want to, you ought to be able to abort any baby, and God ought to be all right with that. And so these folks have lost the reverence for God. They're somehow are calling on the name of God positionally, but they are far from him relationally. And it speaks of how far our nation has fallen from any kind of real collective walk with God. And thank God the Lord has individuals that are still walking with him. But that's at root part of the problem with our money, with our safety, with our health, and with the great war that's going on in Capitol Hill about values and laws. We've got some issues before us.
I believe, Bishop, that we, as a nation, we are so far over the line that each day that goes by that we have not been dealt with a calamity is attributable to one thing, and that is the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe every single day. We're so far over the line spiritually, as a nation, that we deserve judgment years ago. And it's His mercy. It's His mercy. It's God's mercy. I get people say, well, Rick, you've been on the radio, you know, for almost 15 years saying there's going to be judgment. Well, there is judgment. Look around us. Look at the disasters. Look at the droughts, the floods. Look at the attacks on the nation. We're already under judgment. And it's worsening by the year.
It is. I believe that you're seeing it correctly. And, you know, folks are explaining some of the ways climate change and other things. So, I mean, I think your assessment from the spiritual dimension is true. You know, in the book of Joel, when all the things were happening there and the locusts were coming in all their levels, if they had had our current scientific community among them, they would have said, your problem is climate change, global warming. And I don't know back then whether it was warming up or cooling down, but when the people of Joel's time repented and turned to God, God then broke the cycle of all those locusts eating up everything, broke the cycle of poverty and lack, and began to restore the years that those locusts had eaten, and he literally changed the climate cycles to release abundance in the land. He restored the former and the latter rain, which means rain in the planting seasons, rain in the harvest season, so that over time they got back everything that was taken from them in the seasons of their rebellion. And you and I have this real deep belief in the scriptures, and many in our society think that we are, oh, I don't know what they think we are, I won't even articulate that. I'll simply say they want to ascribe other reasons to problems that have clearly been predicted by the scripture. And so I appreciate what you are doing, because there's hope for us as a nation if a remnant of our people turn and others see that there's light in our midst. I believe we can turn the whole nation around in just a few years as people hear and respond to the fear of the Lord and the reverence of God, or as you called it, the fear of God's judgment.
Well, Bishop, I think the fact that God is allowing the USA to go on means there still is hope. Our Heavenly Father is postponing devastating judgment in order to give godly men and women more time to preach a pure gospel of the cross of Calvary. And the fact that we have not experienced a devastating blow militarily or financially or a natural calamity is the sign that we're being given by the Lord more hope. You know, there's an asteroid coming in Friday, and this thing's going to skim past the Earth at 17,000 miles. That is extremely close. I think the Lord is throwing rocks at us. I think he's saying, you want to see how close I can get? And you know, the signs are there. The warnings are there. One of these days, one of those asteroids is going to come flying right above the skyline of a city. And the fear of God is going to hit hundreds of millions of people as they watch that thing go by. He will get people's attention. But, Pastor, we also know in the last days, the Bible says, you know, they're still sitting right up until the day that Jesus comes back. And So what this is really about is leading lost souls to Christ. That's really what we have to do right now. It is get as many souls in the lifeboat, Jesus Christ, as we can possibly get in there right now. And that's really what I want to spend my time doing. I'm not interested anymore in electing politicians and helping political causes at this point. It's just get the souls in the lifeboat, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get them ready to meet the Master when he comes back.
Wow. I think this is so important, what you're doing. I would call it kind of a pincer movement in terms of saving the nation. I use that kind of phraseology about the marriage issue as well, specifically. You know, if you think about a pincer or a set of pliers, it might pick up something with a flat edge on one side and a flat edge on the other. And one side of these pincers or pliers or however you want to call them has got to be a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, wherein individuals hear the message clearly and get an opportunity to be transformed. The second side of that set of pliers or pincers would be a prophetic voice of the church, wherein I was at a meeting this week, this is Thursday, I'm not sure whether it must have been last week, we were with Chuck Colson's people, and the whole National Day of Prayer thing was happening, and they had a reception for Chuck Colson, and the folks who were remembering him stood up and said, well, he believed in the prophetic role of the church. In other words, the church had to speak out and prevent some bad laws from occurring in the land and taking people who weren't yet born again, yet spiritually alive, down the wrong direction, and preventing people to do evil to themselves. And so I think the evangelistic arm of the church and this prophetic stand of the church, they've got to work together. And with these two sides of a pincer or plier, or if you want to use a bird analogy, two wings of a bird, we can fly into the purposes of God. Or these are the kinds of balances that we have to have in our generation in order to make sure that people are saved and to make sure that we maintain the religious liberty under which the church can continue proclaiming the gospel to future generations.
You know, Bishop, you mentioned Chuck Colson, and what came to my mind was he was not a Christian leader known for having prophetic visions, but in his days before he passed away, he did have a dream, and he saw a nuclear explosion in Washington, D.C. I thought that was a very, I was very surprised that he openly came out and told people about the dream. He was very disturbed about it, and he obviously took that dream as a very serious warning from the Lord that something was going to happen that was going to change the nation. And we just need to continue to pray that God's people will not lose the fire, that they'll continue to preach and declare the Word of God. My guest today, Bishop Harry Jackson, Jr., Senior Pastor, Hope Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area. His website is thehopeconnection.org. Bishop, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here with us.
Well, Reverend, thank you. And Rick, I tell you, keep up the good work, and thanks for the opportunity to share with you.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
This is Max McLean. How can you express joy in the Lord to those around you? Listen to the Bible from Psalm 100. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. From Psalm 100, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Listener's Bible may be a great way to help you devote more time in God's Word. Now you can download the Bible directly to your computer. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
This is True News, your Christian alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. If you are not aware, there is a diabolical and sinister propaganda operation underway right now in the USA, leading up to an attempt to disarm millions of Americans of their private firearms. Now, personally, and this is only my personal opinion, I believe that some of the mass shootings are the work of either trained killers or mind-controlled assassins. There are simply too many discrepancies in the eyewitness reports and what the media officially reports as the truth. For example, there were multiple shooters involved in the attacks at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin last year. People inside the temple said several men dressed in black were shooting the people. The media said it was a lone gunman. Likewise, there's video on YouTube from the news helicopters flying over the Sandy Hook Elementary School showing police officers pursuing two men up the wooded hill. The men were dressed in camouflage clothing. There are also many unanswered questions regarding the Sandy Hook massacre, questions that the police and the news media refuse to answer. For example, why hasn't any surveillance camera photos or video been released of the alleged gunman walking through the school? There are also very disturbing information indicating that paid actors and actresses may have been employed to appear on TV news programs, pretending to be the parents of slain children. And what is going on? Does anybody know what is true and what is a lie? The bottom line is that the propaganda campaign is being used to justify the disarming of the American public. Pastor Chuck Baldwin is on the telephone from Montana to share his thoughts. He doesn't need an introduction for most of our audience. His website is ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Pastor Chuck, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Hey, it's good to be with you again, Rick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor, what do you make of these multiple shootings that are taking place across the country and the media and political propaganda campaign to justify disarming the public?
Well, that's exactly what it is, a propaganda campaign. Now, regardless of the cause, and I share many of the questions that you have, but regardless of that, whether everything is exactly as we have been told that it was, or whether there are many, many discrepancies that lead to other conclusions, the result is we have a strong and determined effort by gun grabbers in Washington, D.C., to take away the semi-automatic rifles from the American people. That's the bottom line. So we have got to deal with that. We have got to defeat, in no uncertain terms, that effort.
Pastor, why is that so important to us?
Well, whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, but especially if you're a Christian, you understand the Scripture teaches that if a man provide not for his own, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Well, the providing for our own includes a variety of things, including the peace and safety of our homes, our families, our children, our community, our neighborhood, etc. If we are not willing, as able-bodied men, to provide the protection that is required for them to have a normal and peaceful life in society, then we are worse than heathen. We have denied the faith, we are worse than infidels. And by taking away the semi-automatic rifle, the tyrants would be taking from us the most important and most effective self-defense tool that exists in modern America. This is tantamount to the first century Roman sword that we know the disciples of Jesus carried. Even while he was with them, there were swords carried by Peter and others among 12, as we know from the story of Gethsemane. We also know that Jesus told the disciples it very plainly, if they did not own a sword, to sell their clothes, if they had to, and go buy one. Obviously, Jesus believed in the right to keep and bear arms.
Pastor, I think this is a really good point, what you're bringing up, because I get a lot of sincere people who contact me and say, Rick, the Bible teaches that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So what you're telling people is wrong. You should not be telling people to buy guns. But I think, Pastor, what you just pointed out is what they need to understand. When the Bible talks about that if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, that is being on the offensive. That's taking a weapon and going out and killing people. When Jesus told his disciples to buy a sword, that was for defensive purposes.
That's correct. Yeah, I preached an entire message on that recently to my congregation. It's online. My son, who's a constitutional attorney, and I are in the process right now of publishing a book. It should be out in the next few weeks. It's called To Keep or Not to Keep, Why Christians Should Not Give Up Their Guns. It's going to be an in-depth analysis of the Bible and how the Scripture teaches the principle of lawful self-defense. And nowhere does the Bible teach that Christians should disarm themselves in the face of tyrants. So this book should be up real soon. Can I give the website for
that? Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, if they would like to pre-order copies of this, go to keepyourarms.com. That's keepyourarms.com. And people can pre-order the book right now, and it should be released in the next few weeks, probably in March. So we are trying to educate the Christian community and help them to understand that all of this teaching that they have received over these many years of pacifism, where that they're supposed to not resist any kind of evil or any kind of wickedness, no matter what it is, and certainly not by force, is blatantly unchristian. It's unbiblical. It goes against natural law. It goes against the teachings of Christ. So it's imperative that Christians awaken from this fog that they're in and recognize that if we don't defend the liberties of our people and our country right now, our children and grandchildren are going to grow up in total tyranny and servitude. Is that what we really want for our posterity? Because that's what's hanging in the balance.
It really is. When you talk about pacifism, often when I speak out against the wars that are being waged all over the world for the past 10 years, you know, people write to me and say, Rick, you sound like a pacifist. No, I'm not a pacifist. I don't want my country going to war every 6 months. And my response is, Pastor, if you think I'm a pacifist, why don't you crawl through my bedroom window at 3 a.m.?
Well, isn't that ironic, though? Isn't that amazingly ironic? Here, on the one hand, the Christians will be the biggest cheerleaders for wars of aggression, undeclared, unprovoked wars of aggression. And Christians will cheer that as bomb them, drone attacks, missile attacks, attacks from ships at sea, sending troops, you know, and Christians will cheer that and claim that that is, you know, in line with their Christian beliefs. But at the same time, they don't think that they have the right to resist evil at home, in their own neighborhood, in their own community, in their own home. I mean, how paradoxical is that? How inconsistent is that? We're going to cheer somebody else to go to another country and take thousands and thousands of lives. Many of these are innocent lives, children, women, people that are not enemy combatants. And yet, at the same time, they're going to say that we have no right to defend ourselves at home from those who would seek to disarm us. That makes absolutely no sense. There's no justification scripturally or spiritually from that, and there's absolutely no consistency of thought and reason with that kind of argument.
There isn't, and I think there are millions of church members in America are brainwashed by the regime, the news media, the establishment, and their worldview is established in their heads by what they're being told by the news media and by the establishment, and they're not thinking
they
for themselves.
Rick, let's also put it on the line here. They're also being brainwashed by their pastors.
Yes, sir.
We have a lot of pastors out there that are themselves deluded into this doctrine of pacifism and non-resistance, and they're teaching this constantly to their people. And I hear radio preachers regurgitating it. I hear TV preachers regurgitating it. Don't resist. Lay down your arms. Don't fight back. Obey the government no matter what. All this constant propaganda is making slaves out of what should be the most courageous people in all the world, born-again Christians. You know, I just preached a message yesterday from the pulpit at Liberty Fellowship using, you know, in Romans chapter 15, where Paul said that the Old Testament was written for our learning, that everything in the Old Testament was written for us, that we are to learn from, that we are to take heed from the stories, the examples. And when you go back and look at the courage and the willingness to fight against evil, the entire book of Judges is one story after another of God leading his deliverer to you take the usurpers and the tyrants to task for what they had been doing to the children of Israel. And God blessed them for that. And God gave peace to the nation, at least for a time, until they went back into idolatry, because of the courage of those men. You look at the entire stories of the Old Testament, whether it's Daniel, whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether it's Elijah, whether it's the apostles who said, boldly, we must obey God rather than men. When you look at the stories of courage and faith and in the face of danger and oppression and tyranny, and how God's men stood up like rocks for that which was right and that which was true. And now we have a generation of Christians, including many pastors, who are promoting this concept of pacifism and non-resistance and submission to tyranny and evil. You know, the Bible says that we are to resist evil. The Bible warns us to be not partakers with it, but rather to reprove it. So let's be honest that we have many, many examples, too many, of pastors and church leaders around the country that are fostering this misconception. If I can promote another book that my son and I wrote.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Well, a couple years ago, we saw this repeatedly, and we, you know, Romans 13, we keep hearing, obey the government, Romans 13. So we wrote a book, Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission. And we have already got that published. It's out there. You can order it and get it in a few days. And the website for that, for your listeners, is Romans13truth.com.
You know, Pastor, just yes.
Romans13truth.com.
Romans13truth.com.
And it's a biblical analysis of what the Bible teaches relative to submission to authority. And we showed conclusively that the Bible in both Testaments never commands or even expects Christians to lie down in the face of oppression and evil, and that Romans 13 was not teaching unconditional submission to authority. And the book will prove that.
Pastor, just yesterday I was reading prayers from Reformation pastors and churches. These are prayers that were spoken in churches in the 1500s. And one thing that I noticed is that they prayed for all Christian kings, prime ministers, rulers, and presidents. The word was Christian. In the churches, they were praying for all Christian kings and rulers. And that was that. Those were Reformation prayers, and so it was that doctrine. The understanding in the church at the time was we are to pray and intercede for those rulers who submit to Christ, who are godly men. It didn't say we pray for the ungodly rulers of the world. It said we're praying for the Christian rulers of the world, and immediately after the November election, I started getting emails and letters every week saying, Rick, you are biblically out of line. You need to stop criticizing Barack Obama. He is the president of the United States, and you are obligated to stop criticizing him. I'm like, Pastor, to me, This man is the most evil man to come to power in the West since Adolf Hitler. And if I lived in the 1930s and 40s and I was living in Germany, was I supposed to support Hitler as a good Christian thing to do?
Well, and that's exactly what the German pastors taught during that time. And that's why the Christians and churches of Germany, for the most part, did support Adolf Hitler. He could not have come to power without the assistance of the evangelical Christians and churches in Germany.
And to make it clear, the Nazis infiltrated the German churches. They deliberately went after the German churches. They knew they had to break down the power of the church in Germany. And so they infiltrated the German churches. They actually got Nazis installed as pastors. And eventually, Hitler started his own church denomination, or I should say like an association of churches. And then the pressure was on pastors to join it. And once they joined it, they had to start using Nazi propaganda in their sermons. But it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer and another group of pastors who started the confessing churches. And they said, we're going to confess Jesus Christ. But they were in the minority.
Oh, yeah. Of the 14,000 evangelical churches in Germany at the time, only 800 resisted Adolf Hitler. 800 out of 14,000. That's about 5%. So I wonder, are there 5% of the 300,000 evangelical churches in America today who are resisting evil government? What do you think, Rick? You think we got 5%?
I can't find them.
You know, I don't know that we do have 5%. It's a very small number. And it all goes back to this misinterpretation of Romans chapter 13. That's why the book is so important. And I'm urging your callers and readers and listeners to get that book, Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission, and distribute it among your Christian friends and hopefully educate your pastors and deacons and elders and so forth, because this doctrine is making slaves out of us. And when you mentioned there a minute ago about, Obama is president and we must submit, et cetera, well, tell that to John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist went to prison and was ultimately beheaded, not for preaching the gospel, but for challenging the unlawful conduct of the king. And Jesus said he was the greatest man born of women. Now, come on, folks, let's think. Let's use our heads. If Jesus said this is the greatest man that ever born a woman, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and yet he stood up and told the king,
they had
challenged him for his unlawful conduct. And we don't have a king in America today. We have a president. We don't have a king. We don't have a monarchy. The power of government in America rests with the people. We elect representatives. We are the government. It is the responsibility of those that we elect to adhere to the contract that we have with them, which is the Constitution. And when they do not adhere to that contract, it is our obligation to call them for it, to remove them from office if necessary, to do whatever needs to be done legislatively and lawfully to bring back constitutional government to our land. That's our responsibility as we the people. And this is a government of we the people. This is not a government of kings. This is not a monarchy. We don't have family dynasties here.
But wait a minute. We have a president now who chooses flashcards with the pictures and bios of people on the flashcards, and he decides who's going to be killed by drones each week.
Right, and this is an unbelievable, I should say precedent, but it's not only not the precedent because George W. Bush set the precedent, but Obama is simply expanding it exponentially. And if the American people cannot see this and understand what is happening here, that we have a man by his own word, with no declaration from Congress, no approbation from Congress, no lawful constitutional mechanisms in place, just by his own words, executing people, some of whom are Americans, many of whom are innocent women and children. And this is being done by drone attacks. And now we have thousands of drones flying over the continental United States of America. How long is it going to be before this government starts attacking Americans on our own soil?
Pastor Chuck, I think it will happen before this year's over. I believe Obama will start killing people on American soil in 2013. And I think the American people are going to be conditioned to accept the president killing people on American soil with drone attacks.
Well, see, that's a scary thing. Now, the question is, are the American people going to accept this?
Well, the media is going to tell them that these were bad, bad people on their way to do something bad, bad, bad. And nobody's going to know the truth.
Right. But here's the problem. At the same time, they're flying drones over our heads. They're trying to take away our self-defense tools, mainly the semi-automatic rifle. That's not a coincidence. So we have seen a reaction to this attempted gun confiscation that I think they were not really prepared for. I have received hundreds and hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, of emails from military and police personnel who have said, absolutely and categorically, we will not attempt to confiscate the arms of the American people. In fact, if we're given orders to do that, we will join with the Americans and we will fight the government that tries to take away the American people's arms. I've had hundreds of that. We know there's 1,000 Green Berets that have signed a statement to that effect. We know that there are hundreds of sheriffs that have said the same thing, that they will not enforce or allow gun confiscation in their counties. You know, we are seeing hundreds of millions of Americans all over the country that are saying, in no uncertain terms, you are not taking away my arms. I will not give them up. I will not surrender them, law or no law. So there is a reaction that is happening now in the country that I'm not sure that the powers that be expected. All of the military style weapons are completely sold out.
Hey, Pastor Chuck, wish we had some more time, but I got to go. My guest today, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and I encourage you to get his books, and he's got a brand new one coming out real soon, and his website, Chuck Baldwin Live, chuckbaldwinlive.com, chuckbaldwinlive.com. I'm Rick Wiles. Hey, I want to thank all of you who emailed or called to say that you're praying for me, that I would recuperate from this chest cold. I know my voice may not sound like it, but I actually feel much better today. Thank you so much. And I'm also very pleased by the initial response to my announcement that True News is seeking job applicants to fill some new positions in this ministry. We received some very impressive resumes so far. Now, we're searching for an experienced news editor to direct the news operations of True News, including recruiting, training, and managing a team of in-house and independent writers. If you've worked as a news editor at a TV or radio station or at a newspaper and desire to be considered for this position, please contact us. We are also seeking a news researcher to manage the all-new website that we will unveil in several months. And we need some news journalists to join the team, too. Email your resume and cover letter to info@truenews.com. T-R-U-N-E-W-S. info@truenews.com. Or mail it to Post Office Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida. The zip is 32969. You can address it to me or to Mr. Chris Steinle, S-T-E-I-N-L-E. Now, we're taking these steps to expand this ministry in faith. You know, in the business world, you have a budget and allocated resources. But in ministry, God says, put your feet into the Jordan River and cross to the other side in faith, believing that I will provide for you. Well, I'm trusting God to provide new partners to finance the next phase of this ministry. There's never been a more dangerous time, but there's never been a more exciting time. Jesus Christ is coming, and we have a job to do. We have a job to lead people to the cross and introduce them to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.